Have your scriptures with you this morning. I encourage you to turn to the gospel according to Luke. This morning we're continuing our way through Luke. We're in Luke 18 this morning. We're getting closer to the end. So hopefully you've enjoyed the journey with me. So we're in Luke 18. We'll look at verses 1 through 8 this morning. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles around you, it should be page 877. Last week, for those who have been with us, Jesus was asked by a Pharisee, "When is the kingdom of God coming?" And Jesus responded that it will not come with signs to be observed, but it will come in an instant, like lightning when it flashes up the sky from one side to the other. Jesus said also that it will be like the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, where people are thinking everything's fine, people living without any regard to the notion of God's holiness and without any notion of God's design for their lives. And Jesus says in an instant, judgment was upon them, taken away where the vultures gather around their corpses. Jesus uses the illustration. It's on the heels of that discussion from last week that Jesus this morning will remind us to pray, to be faithful, to persevere in our faith as we await his second coming. Try to put yourself in the shoes of Noah and Lot during that time, the struggle to remain faithful while living in a land of unfaithfulness would have been hard. And I can imagine they faced all kinds of different persecutions, mockeries, and injustices while they were trying to live out their faith during that time. So this morning, Jesus is reminding us the importance and necessity of prayer while we wait his second coming, while we live in a land of unfaithfulness. And the focus he'll really drive at this morning is the importance for praying for the persecuted church during this time of waiting, where at times it will be very difficult to be a believer in Christ, where at times it will seem that God's not listening to our prayers, it will seem hopeless. And this morning Jesus says, pray and don't lose heart. Pray and don't lose heart. We're going to pray before we read the text and ask him to teach us this morning as we consider these things. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, for we hear many voices within our own thoughts, many voices in society and culture, from past teachers and philosophers, and the voice we need to hear is the voice of the Good Shepherd, who says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And so we pray that you would send your spirit to give us ears to hear this morning what you're calling us to have a heart, a life of prayer in the midst of waiting for your return. Lord, help us to see the glory, the joy, and the necessity of being united to you through faith, to seeking you daily, to take our cares, to take our burdens, to take our cries of injustices to you, knowing that you see and knowing that you care, and that in your day you will move. So Lord, we pray that you teach us this morning from your word by your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So Luke 18, beginning at verse 1 through 8. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night. Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? This ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Charles Spurgeon, he says, I know of no better thermometer to your spiritual temperature than this, the measure of the intensity of your prayer. I know of no better way to gauge the spiritual temperature of your heart than to measure the intensity of your prayers. So this morning we're asking how our prayer life is this morning. At times it can be easy. It's the first thing that comes to our mind when we wake up. When we have a meal, we give thanks. And perhaps when we lay down, we say thank you as well. But at times we can find ourselves in seasons of drought when it comes to prayer. Our soul seems dry and God can seem distant. And it can be for all sorts of reasons. This morning, the concern is over when things get difficult in our lives, when things get hard, when great tragedy or injustices happen. It may seem like God's not listening, that he hasn't moved in the way you hoped or expected, and we can lose heart. We can lose assurance. We can hear our adversary say, we can hear ourselves say, where's your God? Why isn't he moving? And it's in those hard seasons that we can lose heart and stop praying and stop going to God, who is our life, our joy, our justice, our assurance, our love, and our peace. And Jesus is saying this morning, pray. Don't lose heart. You see, first he says pray even when it's hard to. Pray even when it's hard to. Jesus gives us the meaning of the parable before he even shares it. He says there in verse 1, pray and don't lose heart. Of all people in humanity, Jesus understood the miseries of life. He knew the pain of losing his earthly father, Joseph. He knew the pain of losing family and friends to death as well. He saw and experiences all the injustices from a corrupt religious establishment and political establishment. Jesus knew the pain of being betrayed. He knew the pain of being forsaken from those closest to him. He knew the pain of torture. Yet through it all, he did not lose heart. He continued to pray. He continued to trust in his Father's will. Jesus understood the hard seasons of life, but he did not lose heart. He kept trusting himself to the will of his heavenly Father. And he says, pray even when you don't feel like praying. Spurgeon, he says it like this, you pray until you can pray. You pray to be helped to pray and not give up praying. For it's when you think you cannot pray that's when you are praying. In Psalm 55, it's the prayer of the psalmist. He says, I call to you, God, Lord, save me. Evening and morning and noon, I utter my complaint and my moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, from my many are arrayed against me. We're called to pray even when it's hard. From the voice of the martyrs, they share a prayer request of the persecuted church. They share on February 13, 2017, Pastor Raymond Koh was abducted off the streets of Malaysia. In 2019, Malaysia's Human Rights Commission issued a report blaming the abduction on a special branch of the Malaysia's police. No one has since been held accountable, and Pastor Koh's whereabouts and condition remain unknown. Susanna, his wife, requests prayer for the court hearings coming on June 6th and 7th. We pray, even when it's hard. Let's pray as we wait for Jesus' return. We pray in the midst of injustices and persecutions. As Paul writes in Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. He says in Ephesians, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all saints. Pray and don't lose heart, as David would say. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. J.C. Rao, he writes, prayer is one of the first evidences of us coming to faith, and neglect of prayer is a sure road to a fall. He continues, he says, do we ever feel the secret inclination to hurry our prayers, to shorten our prayers, or to become careless about our prayers, or omit our prayers altogether? He says, let us be sure when we do that, it's a direct temptation from the devil himself. He's trying to sap and undermine the very citadel of our souls, to cast us down to hell. Let us resist the temptation and cast it behind our backs. Let us resolve to pray on steadily, patiently, perseveringly, and let us never doubt that it does good. Pray. Don't lose heart. Pray, even when it's hard to. He reminds us, secondly, he says, consider the heart of the unrighteous judge versus the heart of the loving righteous judge. He says in verse 2, there's a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For while he refused, afterward he said to himself, though I don't fear God or respect man, yet this widow keeps bothering me. I'll give her justice so she'll just leave me alone. And Jesus says, will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Jesus gives the parable to contrast the heart and motives of the unjust judges of the earth compared to the heart and motives of the judge of the universe. This widow who did not have a husband to defend her or protect her or provide for her goes to this judge about her adversary. She knows the truth. She knows the reality of the situation and persists in going back to this judge until she gets justice. Even though he's unmoved by the matter and could care less, he acts on her behalf because he doesn't want her bothered anymore. And Jesus says, compare that to your heavenly Father. Compare that to the God of the elect who loves you like a bride. Compare him to the God who has set his love upon you before the foundation of the world. The God who's familiar with all your ways. The God who knit you together in your mother's womb. The God who ordained every day for you before there was even one. The God who knows when you rise up. The God who knows when you lie down. The God who's with you wherever you go. The God who is holy, who is infinite, who is eternal, who is unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. The God who loved you when you were his enemy. The God who loved you while you were lost in sin. The God who sent Christ to die for you, to redeem you, to forgive you. Jesus says, you keep praying to this God. You keep praying to this Father. You keep praying to him. You don't lose heart. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows your heartache. He knows your pain. In his perfect timing, he will move. Jesus says in verse 7, and will not the God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Sometimes it doesn't happen in this lifetime, but in eternity, when he returns to judgment to save his redeemed and to bring vindication, there will be an eternal judgment upon those who do unjust to God's people. It's the cry of the martyrs in Revelation 6 O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And he says, just rest a little while longer. Rest a little while longer until their number is complete. Psalm 9 reminds us of the justice of God, that he's good, he's just. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He's established his throne for justice. He judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you, O Lord. You have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned. Tell among the peoples his deeds, for he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget their cry of the afflicted. Again, another prayer request from the voice of the martyrs. Christians in Algeria report suffering from systematic campaign of government persecution. Since the end of 2017, the government has reportedly closed 30 of the 47 Protestant churches since the end of 2017. The government has reportedly closed 30 of the 47 Protestant churches since the end of 2017. And in January 2023, a 54-year-old pastor from a Muslim background was sentenced to 2 years in prison for holding unlicensed worship and holding worship in a building not designated for non-Muslim worship. The pastor has been in jail ever since his arrest. The frontline worker says, please pray that the Algerian believers whose churches have been closed by the authorities can continue to meet together and reach out to their neighbors with the gospel, despite the risks. We pray and we don't lose heart because we know who we go to. The Father who loved us before the foundation of the world, the God who hears our prayers, the God who will move in his timing. Philip Ryken writes, prayer is not a way of talking God into doing something that he doesn't want to do. On the contrary, we persist in prayer because God is just, wise, and loving God who listens carefully when we pray and will answer our prayers in his best way at his best time. Spurgeon, he adds, the prayers of puny but believing men move the mighty arm of God. God in his sovereignty, God in his eternal decrees, God desires to use your prayers, to work through your prayers, to use your prayers as the vehicle to accomplish his will. It's a high and it's a grand, glorious mystery. But we pray because he is sovereign. We pray because he is wise. We pray because he is good. If he wasn't any of those things, why bother to pray? He couldn't do anything. So we continue in prayer, knowing that he hears, that he knows, and in his time he will move. And so the question is that Jesus asks, when Jesus comes back, would he see faith in your heart that's seeking him and trusting him? He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It's a rhetorical question meant to challenge us. It's a call to persevere, a call to remain faithful against the world that wants you to stop praying, against the world that wants you to no longer exalt Christ above all other things. It's a call to persevere and pray when the world tries to stop you. Peter writes in 2 Peter, days will come in the last days with scoffing. People following their sinful desires, they'll say, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. They deliberately overlooked the fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water, through water, by the word of God and by the means of this, the world then existed was deluged with water and perished, speaking of Noah's flood. He says, by the same word, the heavens and earth now exist, are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly. And he says, but don't overlook this fact. Beloved, with the Lord is one day is as a 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord's not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but each should come to repentance. The day the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done will be exposed. He's waiting. He's waiting for his sheep to hear his voice, that they would come to repentance. He's being patient towards you. If he were to come back right now, would he see that you have a heart that adores him, that trusts him, that needs him, that worships him, that prays to him? Spurgeon says, you are no Christian if you do not pray. A prayerless soul is a Christless soul. When you understand that God made Christ sin, when you understand that God sent Jesus to be our substitute, to stand in our place, to absorb the wrath of God on the cross for us, for every single sin, when you understand that God made him sin, that he was our substitute, that in Christ we become the righteousness of God, that there's this grand substitution, this grand imputation where Jesus takes our sin and he gives us his righteousness, that it's all done in Christ from first to last, from before the foundation of the world to glory. When you understand that, your heart will melt with joy, will melt with wonder, that I can be forgiven and redeemed, not on the basis of what I can do, for my hands are filthy and stained with sin, but on account of Christ and his righteousness, that he endured the wrath of God for my sin. When you grasp that and understand that, you'll become a person of joy, a person of peace, a person who prays, if not for anything, just to say, thank you, Christ. As Spurgeon said, you are no Christian if you do not pray. A prayerless soul is a Christless soul. For those who believe, how's your prayer life this morning? Are you struggling in a season of drought? Jesus says, pray. Don't lose heart. God sees. He knows. He loves his elect. And he will move. And he will move speedily in his time. He says, pray even when it's hard to. Remember who it is you pray to. The God who has loved you, sent his son to die for you. The God who will redeem you. The God who will raise you from the dead. And as the Hebrew writer says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day of his return drawing near. He says to you, pray. Don't lose heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we take time to lift our hearts to you. Lord, that you would awaken our souls to the reality of the greatness of Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For those who see their great need, turn in repentance and trust him. Lord, we come to you at the foot of the cross. Lord, we say, take our life. Take our all. Transform us, renew us, revive us in your truth. Lord, forgive us when we go through the seasons of drought, when we doubt your goodness, when we doubt your faithfulness, when we doubt that you will move. Lord Jesus, you know well the miseries of life. Lord Jesus, you were constant in prayer, always rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Lord, we thank you that you've overcome this world. And we thank you that you lay a hold of us and you never let us go. Lord, we pray that you would pour living springs of water into our hearts, that would be people of prayer. For Jesus, you are life, you are salvation, you are joy. Lord, I pray for those of us who struggle mightily, that we would know your love and your peace. Lord, help us to stir one another up, encourage one another up in the things of Christ. It's in his mighty name we pray. Amen.